Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Chief Clancy Wiggum of the Springfield PD, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Oh, no. Raffy, honey, get your finger out of your nose. Daddy's on the radio, honey.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, February 14th, 2022. It's Valentine's Day.
Yeah, sure it is.
Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg report. We're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, your responsibility. We have a new Super Bowl champion, the Los Angeles Rams. And because of a missed extra point, Peter does not have to grow out his hair like Gallagher or like Larry Fine or like Bozo the Clown. Otherwise, it's a push. What would have happened with the push, Don and Peter?
I would have lost.
Oh, that's right. You would have won. Don would have won. That's right. Wow.
It's unfortunate, though. You know?
Yeah, listen, you won. What are you going to do? That's the game. That's football. But I would love to see that game played if Odell doesn't go down, because I think that they would have covered. But that's football, Susan.
Yes, it is. You know, it's fortunate for Sean McVay that they put together that drive at the end to score the touchdown, because McVay was almost obstinate, stubborn in his insistence on trying to establish the run. Now, I get it in the first half. But he just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And there was no yards there. It was fewer than 2 yards per carry. And it took him till the last drive to say, okay, just connect with Cooper Kupp. That should have been done early in the third quarter. His insistence on getting Akers loose, they could not run on Cincinnati. It couldn't open the holes against them. So have the guy throw. Have him throw. Otherwise, you put it all in this guy's hands in one drive because of your insistence to try to run the ball. Again, I understand establishing the run. Cincinnati had a run. Mixon actually was able to run the ball a little bit. Cam Akers could not. So why continue to do it? Made no sense.
Yeah, you got to keep him honest, but you would see that it just wasn't working. A 6-yard completion, then lose 3 yards trying to run the ball and put yourself in a third and long situation. And it happened countless times because Cincinnati kept giving the ball back to the Rams, and the Rams just could not generate anything. Even they were starting at midfield, could not generate anything. And then eventually they were able to get the groove. And with all that conservative play, yet it took a mind-boggling going for it on fourth down in your own territory that continues the drive on that play to Cooper Kupp.
What did you think about that?
I didn't like it.
It was 5 minutes left. They had all their timeouts, and their defense was playing extraordinary. I thought that was a big gamble.
I thought it was it was a huge gamble. I thought it was ill-advised because Cincinnati wasn't doing anything.
Yeah,
and so give the ball back to Cincinnati. Let your defense get you the ball back, and maybe you get a turnover or something. I understand you want to maximize the amount of time that you have, but if you don't convert there, that's an easy 3 points. That's an easy score for Cincinnati. Where are they going to get the ball? Was it like the 25-yard line?
I think the 30, right around there, yeah.
It was really like a scary area of the field, and I was thinking, you're right, with 5 minutes, your timeout, Cincinnati not being able to do anything, I would have punted the ball away and let my defense give me the ball back because that's what they were routinely doing in the second half touchdown in the third quarter.
I hated the decision in the moment, and then I absolutely loved the play call.
Oh, the play call was great.
Play call was beautiful. You know, it really it gave them a surprising look without taking much of a risk. You put the ball in your best player's hands, and it worked out. But I'm with you. I didn't see any reason why they had to do that, given that Cincy had completely fallen apart. And to me, the biggest reason that game went the way it went was, you talk about falling into a groove, it was the front of the Rams eventually finding their groove. Once that defensive front started playing as advertised in the third quarter, it was over.
Well, Von Miller played a big role. A lot of people think Aaron Donald should have been the MVP over Cooper Kupp. I understand both sides of that. And one play that I thought was really big, and it happened at the beginning, so it doesn't seem like it's that big. Why did Zach Taylor go for it in 4th and 1 at the 49? That didn't make any sense. Oh, analytics. Analytics, please. All you have to do is punt, pin them back at the 5-yard line. Instead, you didn't get it. And then 6 plays later, they go in for a touchdown. It made no sense. That was a touchdown to Odell Beckham Jr. It made no sense to go for it there. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it, you're giving them a short field. And that's exactly what they did with a short field. They scored. So that was a little curious for sure.
I did not understand that move at that point. I mean, you know perfectly well, all of us have watched the Super Bowl. Okay, so both teams go 3 and out on their opening drives. Why was it necessary to take that risk there? It just felt like a really needless gamble, almost like you're trying to set the tone. You're worried so much about setting the tone, you're not thinking about the actual risk versus reward equation.
Yeah, I understand the reward, but the risk was far greater than the reward, because even if they got the first down there, no guarantee they end up scoring anyway. It becomes a field position game. It's like a playful battle of war where you're trying to protect territory. And instead, if you punt there, they've got 90 yards to try to make something happen. Instead, you don't get the first down. They got 49 yards to get a touchdown. It made no sense. That was a dumb move.
I mean, listen, it could be the reason they lost the game.
It could be.
That's 7 points.
And they still could have won the game because, as Don said, when OBJ went down, that was it. They had no other weapons. Cam Akers wasn't getting any ground. So all they had to do was try to find Cooper Kupp. And with Beckham out, that allowed the Bengals to double-team Cooper Kupp all the time. And then despite that, that's why he won the MVP. Despite that, he still made the plays on the last drive. It was an amazing thing to watch, and it was a pretty good Super Bowl. And now I think there are 7 games in a row that were great games. They were just absolutely great games.
But the thing that can't be ignored was how poorly officiated the game was.
Well, how about, what do you mean? It was too loosely called or too close at the end?
They didn't call anything.
Right.
I mean, on the Cincinnati touchdown to open the second half, I mean, Ramsey's got his face mask turned. I mean, that's a penalty. How do you not see that? And there was a defensive hold on the previous touchdown. I mean, so that kind of was a wash. I'm not going to say that it cost either, cost the Bengals the game or whatever, but I didn't think it was officiated pretty well at all. I mean, it looked like the Rams were offside at one point when they were driving towards the goal line and never whistled that down. I don't know. It's just very weird that you have, like, nothing's being called except for the obvious things. Like, the player that's not even in the game running on the field. How stupid was that?
Oh, he'd be released today.
I mean, I would have sent him into the locker room. He's not sitting with my team for the rest of the game. And then there was also a personal foul in Cincinnati, too. It was just ridiculous. But I thought that there were some egregious missed calls. But, at the end of the day, you got to give the Rams a lot of credit fighting back. That was an amazing drive when they couldn't get anything going. And Kupp, showed you why he's one of the best wide receivers in football.
Did you see how Mecole Hardman of the Chiefs, just savaged Eli Apple?
No, what'd he say?
Oh, my goodness. Right after the game, he says, "At Eli Apple, wish you was a better corner, bro. Then the game-winning touchdown wouldn't have been scored on you." And then he has the next tweet. He shows the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring. He said, "Eli Apple, it's cool, big bro. You might get one of these one day. But in the meantime, just go get better at your craft."
It was not a good day for Eli Apple. He gave up 2 touchdowns. He was picked on regularly throughout the day. Yeah, I tweeted last night, too. I don't expect a lot of trash talk from Eli Apple this week. It was not a great outing.
Not at all. Not at all. So I'm going to give it an unpopular take here.
Mm.
When I saw how he was dressed to walk into the stadium, I thought, maybe Joe Burrow needs a little comeuppance. Maybe he's a little bit of a nozzle. Maybe he's just too much right now.
Thank you.
That was nozzly. We used to make fun of Cam Newton the way he dressed after losses. I mean, to dress like that for a Super Bowl, what are you trying to do?
I was going to bring this up during the week, like even his comments about, for people that videotape their workout. It's like, why is he being – he's being a little nozzly here. He's getting a little too comfortable. Like, he's really loves playing the role, because even though there were a lot of people that didn't give Cincinnati a chance, everybody was rooting for Cincinnati. You really got that sense. And I think he got caught up in a little bit. And the outfit that you wear, that's great, but that's also the outfit you got to wear when you leave after you lose the game.
And he did. And it was awkward.
Listen, I love him. He's a great quarterback. And, boy, he just showed a lot of toughness, too, because you could see that knee was really hurt or hurting at the end of that game, both quarterbacks, because it also looked like Stafford like, broke his ankle.
Stafford's was almost a disaster.
But these guys, it's going to take a lot to come out of a Super Bowl game unless you get, you know, a torn ACL like Odell did. But, yeah, I was with you, Michael. I thought, you know, it's a little much.
I didn't love that either. I thought it was just one notch too far.
And remember before the AFC Championship game, I believe, when he's wearing that big gold gaudy thing, and they said, is that real diamonds? He goes, I make too much money to wear fake diamonds. I mean, come on, man.
It's a little much.
See, I didn't mind that. Because it happened organically, and it was a question. It's how he answered. But the outfit yesterday was planned. You know, he picked that out for the Super Bowl, and it's a really fine line of quarterback that, like, at quarterback, you want to have some swag, and you want to be a leader, and you want the other players to think you're cool. But at the same time, when you put in too much, it looks like you're trying too hard to be a me guy, and quarterback is the least me position in terms of how you're supposed to behave. And so I just thought that look with the hat and the whole nine was just one notch trying too hard to be cool instead of just wearing a nice jacket, nice outfit. Look, you know, wear your necklaces, wear a nice outfit. But when it's like he dressed up in a costume.
Right.
He just felt a little fraudulent.
It almost looked like the guy in Jim Carrey in The Mask without the yellow face or green face, whatever. But Matthew Stafford doesn't act like that.
No, and that's okay. You don't have
to. Eli Manning never acted like that.
But that doesn't mean you can't. You know, Joe Namath did.
Right.
I think this was too much too soon.
That's too much too soon. Because, listen, I can't say that I've paid that much attention to him, like, through college and in his, you know, year and a half in the NFL because he missed half the season last year. I didn't get the sense of him being nozzly at all.
But you do. But Don, remember, the first big national memory of him is the cigar smoking in the locker room afterwards.
That was in the national championship game.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that. So his big jump onto the scene as a national celebrity was him sort of sitting there like Joe Cool with a cigar in his mouth in his locker room. So, right. Like, it's definitely been part of who he is.
But you won the championship and you want to celebrate with a cigar or whatever. But I just felt like he really started to get caught up in the moment here.
Yeah.
And listen, if this is who he is, then be that. But if he just kind of got caught up in the moment and wanted to, like, just show off because it was the Super Bowl and that's not really kind of who he is, then don't think outside the box. Just be yourself.
And you almost get the feeling that if they would have won, right, he would have been insufferable. He would have been absolutely insufferable. And it seemed like Madison Avenue was just waiting to jump all over him and make him the new guy who lives in the stadium. He would have taken over for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He would have had every single commercial. I think he was game planning it that way to get dressed like that, walk into the Super Bowl when this is a business meeting. Think about that, guys. It's business. It's the biggest game you'll ever play in your life. And that's what he probably had. He had stylists that came up with that. Now, I was wearing the same thing watching the game, but nobody saw me.
No, right. But you already own that suit. That's just your Sunday suit.
Right.
I'll tell you what.
I got steaming hot Domino's on my chest.
It was the drive with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Cincinnati had just gotten the touchdown, right, after the no call on the face mask to Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
They go up 17-13. Stafford then forces the deep ball that gets picked by the Bengals. Bengals get the ball back. Momentum completely has left the Rams at that point.
Right.
Odell is gone. Touchdown, interception, here we go. They move down the field again, and then Aaron Donald comes up with the sack on third down to force a field goal instead. To me, guys, if Cincinnati can get in the end zone there to go up 24-13 instead of 20-13, I think we're talking about Cincinnati being champions today.
At that moment, after that turnover, I'm thinking there's no way Cincinnati's losing this game. Everything is falling apart for the Rams. And you're right. They just could not do anything. That's when the Rams all of a sudden started to connect. And then they had like four sacks in like almost succession, changed field position. They just couldn't move the ball. That's why I thought going for it the way they did, Michael, was a mistake. Punt.
Yeah.
Cincinnati was not going to do anything.
Right. If they had been struggling defensively, I understand going for it. That was a huge huge wheelbarrow, you know what call. But it worked out. And, you know, I like to see when great players rise to the occasion. So Cooper Kupp had a triple crown year. He rose to the occasion. Aaron Donald rose to the occasion. Von Miller, Matthew Stafford. But you know who didn't? Jalen Ramsey. I mean, we can talk about the face mask, but he got burned on two others. He tried to jump the ball on that last drive.
Yeah.
He gave up huge chunks of yardage to Jamar Chase and then gave up the touchdown to Chase. Or maybe he's tackled at the 10. That was another one. He was not the lockdown. There was no Ramsey Island, that's for sure.
Now, after that play where he jumped the route, fell down, they completed the chase like to midfield, I'm thinking, all right, they're going to get in the field goal range. Because that's what I'm rooting for my pick, is that let's get to overtime. And I really thought that even though Cincinnati was struggling, after that play, I'm thinking they'll at least get in to territory. McPherson's got a big leg. And they just, that third down, not being able to get the first down, just killed them.
Now, I got to ask you guys one thing. They didn't make a big deal of this on NBC, but I thought it was a big deal. The Rams are going to win after that. You know, Donald gets a hold of Burrow, and then he kind of flings it away. Well, I kept thinking, poor Don, wouldn't it be great if it was picked off and run back for six and then Don wins? But, no, I was actually thinking that. But it was almost completed, too, which would have been one of the unbelievable plays of all time. But why wouldn't you call that final timeout if you're Zach Taylor? What are you being a good guy for? You never know if there's any kind of mishandling of the ball. Why would you lose a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
By one, when you have, why would you lose a Super Bowl and have one timeout left? It doesn't make sense. Make them do that exchange one more time. You never know what's going to happen.
Unless he just was frustrated and just wanted to get out of there. But I'm with you. Make him snap the ball again.
Yeah. The more you snap it, the better chance it's going to be mishandled.
There's no shot, I would think, anyway, but so why not?
Yeah.
One more snap, one more mistake.
He's my buddy, I'm going to just give it to him? That was bad. Awful, awful look. One other thing I thought as I was watching the game, that stadium looks magnificent. And I just sat there and go, how was this built, and how did the Giants and the Jets do what they did?
I know. I think about it every time I see a game in Atlanta.
In Minnesota. Dallas. I mean, okay, give me – they must have been shopping in the Riverfront Stadium, Three River Stadium aisle. They built a generic stadium when that is a piece of art. Did you see how that roof, like, it's like a big scoreboard? It's translucent. It's unbelievable. Nice. Everything about that place is unbelievable. Don't get it.
Is it better than Giant Stadium? You know, I guess the concourses are wider.
But not that much better.
Better suites. But that's where they made the mistake. Listen, I'm sure the suites in all these new places are gorgeous, too. But the Jets and Giants will tell you, oh, look, we got the blue room and the green room, and our suites are gorgeous. That's great. But still, 80,000 people are sitting in seats and having to wait on an escalator for a half hour with a straight drop down and still take forever to get out of the parking lot and basically just see Venetian blinds. It's New York, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly not what we're going to talk about today, but I did think about it because that is a – now, if you're the Giants and the Jets, you could say, well, that costs $5 billion. And I think that MetLife, I think, cost $2 billion. And it was equally split by the Jets and the Giants. But you know, spend a little more, you get a little more. Just saying. I mean, they built the most nondescript stadium in the entire NFL. The entire NFL. Think about it. It's awful. And, you know, the reason they did it was for the PSLs. That's it. Because it's not that much different than Giant Stadium. It's just not. Just not. All right. One other thing that seems to be a fait accompli is that game ensured that Matthew Stafford goes to the Hall of Fame.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
Take a look at Matthew Stafford's numbers. Never won an MVP. Ever. Never led the league in anything, ever. He's had a really good career, but to anoint him as a Hall of Famer, how long did it get Jim Plunkett to get in? And he had two Super Bowls. They're making this like he's a first ballot gold jacket guy. I'm not so certain. I don't want to be there. Even on Friday, I said I'm still not convinced about Matthew Stafford. I thought he was tough yesterday. I don't think he played great, but I thought he was tough. But to say, okay, he's automatically a Hall of Famer, do you guys see that? automatically a Hall of Famer?
Well, I don't know first ballot how long it's going to take. I'd be shocked if he doesn't end up in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's really hard to decide what you're supposed to do in Detroit. Now, he threw three touchdowns. Now, the two picks I wouldn't say necessarily were his fault. The first one was just a glorified punt, I thought. He just kind of threw it up for grabs. I didn't think the receiver really helped him at all. And on the second one, it was deflected. You know, so it's odd. He's only gone to one Pro Bowl.
Yeah, one Pro Bowl. No, you know, I think he might have, like, one fifth-place vote in MVP voting.
But how many MVPs are you going to be voted on for when you're playing for the Detroit Lions?
True.
You know, you're not winning any title, division titles. You're sneaking in as a wild card. You're one and done. Not that that matters for an MVP. But, you know, when you're going up against the, you know, you look at his career start in 2009. So you're going up against, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in his prime, Aaron Rodgers in his prime. I mean, how many MVPs do you really think he's going to be involved in on a team that was probably, on average, winning, you know, 5-6 games a year?
No, I get it, but you don't. I'm not saying win the MVP, but you could finish in the top five. I think I read that he had one top five vote, so he never had a season that just blew people away. And I understand he was on bad teams, but he was on three teams that he took to the playoffs.
Right, which is a miracle in itself.
Right.
And he's thrown for 40 touchdown passes twice. He's thrown for over 5,000 yards, routinely threw for over 4,000 yards. He's got a lot of great statistics, and now he's got a Super Bowl ring. And he's only 33, so I still think there's a chance that he's going to do a lot more before it's all said and done. But when you look at this generation of quarterbacks, the guys that are going to go in, I think he'll eventually go in.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. I don't think it's Dan Orlovsky loves him. I just don't think it's as much of a fait accompli as everybody's making it out to be. I mean, it's not a slam dunk because there's still people out there, Don, you know this, that don't think Eli's going to get in, right? They don't think Eli's getting in with two Super Bowls and the MVP in both of them. So
yeah.
If there's people that don't think Eli's getting in, why are you automatically putting Matthew Stafford in? Now, Stafford has better regular season numbers than Eli, but Eli did win two Super Bowls. And there's some question mark with him, although I think he'll get in.
I'll tell you what, I don't know how you guys felt about it. I was a little surprised Dick Vermeil got in.
I you know, we had a group text going. I think he's a Hall of Famer, and I think Peter does too. Why do you think he's
a Hall of Famer? Yeah, why not, Don?
He coached for 15 years, half of which he made the playoffs. Went to a couple of Super Bowls, won one. I don't know what makes him like one of the greatest coaches of all time. He wasn't doing anything in St. Louis, and then all of a sudden, you know,
Kurt Warner
drops into his drops.
That was
into
a pretty
lap.
Good team with Trent Green too before he got hurt.
Yeah, but it wasn't. They still weren't very good. They were like a 4-5-6 win team. And then they go and they win a Super Bowl. He quits, and then Mike Martz takes the same team, and they lost to the Patriots, but they went back to the Super Bowl. I don't want to hate on the guy. He had one playoff year in Kansas City, went 13-3, got beat in their first playoff game, and he went to a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. I mean, Tom Flores. Look how long is he even in? There's a lot
of Flores guys. Flores is in now, but I mean,
yeah, but took a Vermeil, look how long it took him to finally get
well,
in.
Well, look how long it took Vermeil. He's 85 years old. Looking
listen,
terrific, by the way.
I think he's a really nice guy, and that probably helped him get in. But I never looked at Dick Vermeil as one of the great coaches of all time.
Yeah.
Marty Schottenheimer was a better coach. Now, Marty Schottenheimer couldn't win the big game, but right. He went to the playoffs basically every year, won 13 games like every single year, went to the championship game a bunch of times. He was Dusty Baker, unfortunately. He just could not win that big game. But you look at the wins in the regular season. Look at Chuck Knox's wins in the regular season. I know we put a lot on the Super Bowls, and we should, but he went to two Super Bowls, won one. So I guess Coughlin's definitely a lock then.
You would think.
Also, it's interesting. You can look at this for better or for worse, but Vermeil's Super Bowl appearances were separated by 19 years.
Yeah, because he had burnout after the Eagles and just retired. So that's why it's only 15 years as a coach.
Right, because he was gone from 82 to 97.
Yeah.
Wow. But, you know, is Holmgren going to the Hall of Fame?
Probably.
Well, he's not there yet, and he won a Super Bowl, went to a Super Bowl with Seattle. His resume, I think, is more impressive. Let's see if he gets in.
Well, when you have it in front of you, Peter. When did Vermeil retire? What year?
I literally just closed it.
Jerk.
Early 2000s, though. Here it is.
Well, it was 2001 season when Martz was the – so 2000, right?
All right, so he waited 22 years, Don.
All right, well, I just didn't think he belonged.
I always enjoyed him on Radio Row, so I rooted for
him. No, listen, I like the guy. He had to wait – because, yeah, 2005 was his – because he came back with Kansas City and went to the playoffs that one year and got bounced right away. Yeah, so he had to wait like 16 years.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Take your phone calls on the Super Bowl. Obviously, Super Bowl halftime, we'll talk about that as well. We'll get Peter's view. I did decide that during the Super Bowl, sitting there alone with my little golden retriever, I'm very old man.
That is a very old way to be.
Yeah, very old man. So it's not for me to sit there and critique that halftime, but Peter's better at it than me. He knows exactly what was going on, whether it was good or bad. So we'll hear from him on that as well. Also, the story that Aaron Donald's thinking about retiring. He's 30 years old. We'll talk about that. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Sacramento against Brooklyn. Brooklyn tries to end its 11-game losing streak.
My God.
And so Brooklyn will be at home tonight, and we will get to see Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. Still no Ben Simmons. And the Sixers have just released that James Harden will not play until after the All-Star break. I don't know if they're doing that because of how it would look or his hamstring is legitimately hurt.
Well, I guess we'll never know. And no Kyrie tonight because it's home.
That's right. And he said in a story in the Post, I feel no guilt whatsoever. He goes, and you shouldn't be asking me about it. It's a choice I made.
Oh, I love that. Shouldn't even ask. Okay.
That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mitchell in Long Island. Mitchell.
MVP, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a beautiful day. Two quick things about the Super Bowl, and then I got something to ask Peter. When Boyd dropped the pass on that third down, that was the change in the game. He catches that pass, they go in and score, they win the ball game.
That was a big drop.
But that wasn't a first down where he caught it, so they would have had to make another decision. It would have been fourth and one.
No, but that's the first pass he dropped all year.
I know, but again, just because he caught
incredible.
It would have been fourth and one.
Yeah, I know he's still short, but he should have caught the ball.
Yep, for sure.
Okay. Peter, got a question for you. You're into The Sopranos, right?
Very.
Okay. Do you like the commercial?
Loved the commercial.
All right. Wasn't it great?
Yeah, I love the commercial. I'm glad you asked. Tomorrow on my Wannette podcast, my next-door neighbor who played Finn on the Sopranos, Meadows' boyfriend, he's actually the guest that we have on the show tomorrow, telling lots of Sopranos stories. And some specifically about Jamie Lynn Sigler and Robert Eiler. But, yeah, no, for anyone who was a big Sopranos fan, it was so interesting the way they shot the spot where you're just seeing the jersey look and you're hearing the theme song. And, guys, I don't know what you thought, but at first I couldn't tell it was Jamie Lynn Sigler. I didn't know where they were going with the spot at all. And I think it emotionally hit people in the feel spot because no one had seen them at all in any way in 15 years.
David Chase directed it, I believe.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. That's awesome.
Did.
Yeah, and it does show you that those two didn't get killed in Holston's.
Was that? Do you think it's supposed to be directly?
Yes.
Related. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a much better parallel parker now than she was back then.
That is true. She can now park.
So you thought the whole family being taken out was on the table?
Well, I mean, who was sitting next to Tony? Was it the son or the daughter?
No, his wife and son were across. I think she would have sat next to him.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But you got to know the timing because she was just walking in, so I don't.
That's true.
You know, so that's a good question. See how it still gets us talking, Michael?
Yep.
Rather than a head with a hole in it and then roll credits?
That's it? Yeah, everyone feels so good now. I mean, by the way, this week, on Saturday, we got through the Christopher episode in the final season, Natalie was leveled. And what's amazing about the show is, this sums up how great the show is. when Adriana has her ending occur,
right?
Natalie was so angry that she's like, at that moment, she goes, I hope Christopher dies a painful death. Well, I want to see him suffer. And by the time you get to the show and that moment happens, she's weeping.
Dear God.
So she doesn't know what she wants.
You don't know. That's the thing about the show.
You just become a father. So are you crying for him? Are you crying for the kid?
It's also just so sad. It's also just horribly sad. You're like, you can't believe Tony has it in him to do that.
Oh. You realize that these are really bad people.
So here's my question, Captain Literal Man. When you watch the show, do you not emote because you're like, they're immoral people. I have no feelings for them.
I didn't feel badly about anybody getting killed. They all deserved it. They killed a lot of people in their life.
I truly don't believe you. I do not believe.
Seriously.
You could not watch that show and not feel emotions when these characters bite it.
I felt a little bit badly for Bobby Bacala in the train station.
That's it.
That's about it. Because I don't think he was as bad as everybody else. Although he did awful things too. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Will in Totowa. Will.
Yeah, guys, I got two quick points here, and then I'll let you speak your piece. First of all, athletes dressing eccentrically these days has become an in vogue thing. All you got to do is turn on the NFL draft and see some of the outfits these guys got on. You look at Russell Westbrook in a post-game press conference. You look at some of the stuff LeBron wears. That's number one. Number two, if Burrow goes out and lays an egg yesterday, I could maybe understand your point a little bit better. I mean, the guy, by all intents and purposes, played a very solid game. He's 22 for 33 with a touchdown. That's with a couple of drop passes. So I don't see how it's really relevant what he was wearing before the game.
It's not relevant. It struck me, Will, as while he's coming off as a little bit of a nozzle. He didn't play great. He had an opportunity to drive his team into a field goal, and he didn't do it. He didn't get protected, whatever, and I agree. But he didn't play a great game. He didn't play as great as he did in the previous games. He did okay.
Listen, it's not a big deal. Let's not flip out. I just thought it kind of was out of character for him. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know him that well. But, listen, Russell Wilson's always dressed wacky. Same with LeBron James. That's what they do. Remember all those years that you saw Cam Newton? But when everything's conservative and then all of a sudden the Super Bowl, you dress like that, it just seemed like he was trying too hard, bro. That's all. It just seemed like so it kind of broke character. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody who's a Bengal fan who watches every game, maybe that he routinely dresses that way. But I got the sense that he got caught up in the moment. Has nothing to do with whether if he went out there and won the Super Bowl MVP, I would still have the same opinion. Had nothing to do with the way he played because he made the decision before the game even started and had nothing to do with how he played during the game. I just thought it seemed like a little bit out of character for him.
And I'm sure that every young person that watched it didn't even blink. Just like I wouldn't have blinked when Joe Namath wore the mink coat. But 61-year-old Michael Kay, if Joe Burrow came in with a mink coat like Joe Namath, I'd go, little nozzle.
But like somebody on Twitter, I'd go back and give them credit, was like, well, listen, Don, it's the Super Bowl. All right, that's the precise reason why you don't have to do it. You're a quarterback in the Super Bowl. You know, so you don't have to call attention to yourself. All the attention's already on you. You know, this isn't some like regular season game that the E team is doing on Fox where like 16% of the country's getting. Everybody in the world is watching that game and you're the quarterback of one of the teams. Probably one of the two or three most recognizable faces in that game yesterday. So that's the precise reason why you don't have to go crazy to get attention.
Yeah, to me, I looked at Joe Burrow as this Midwestern guy, right? Middle of America guy, hard worker, an amazing amount of confidence, which led to swag, without trying too hard.
Right.
Walking into that stadium yesterday, he was screaming, look at me, right. Look at me.
Well, didn't he send the tweet out about don't send videos of you working out like don't call attention to yourself? Well, what are you doing? You're calling attention to yourself. That's fine if you want to do that. Okay, I just didn't know that's how he wanted to play it. Maybe that's the way he's going to play it from now on. I don't know.
I think you guys are overstating it just a little. The only place I disagree is that he just went a little too far.
I don't think it was a big deal either, Peter. It's just something I wanted to.
Right.
We turn over every stone on this show.
Yeah, that's a good point. No one's saying he should be, it's the reason he lost or anything like that. But
Yeah, lift it up and show it to me.
I saw the outfit and thought, Joe, you tried a little too hard today. Just a little too hard.
I'm glad that Peter is landing on that side, too, because, again, people are going to look at me and Don and go, they're old. Well, Peter's young and hip, and he even thought maybe a little too much.
Also, can I ask you a question, Michael?
Yeah, sure.
When are we going to find out what the future of Don's hair is?
Well, we'll talk about it. We have a four-hour show, my friend.
Because last time I checked, I mean, now I am firmly in second place. By the way, best record overall for the season.
Doesn't
Thank you
matter.
Very much.
Doesn't matter.
I'm basically the champion. And now Don has some things to consider.
Well, I got to tell you, because I didn't know how we were doing this during the pandemic. Are we going to make a big production out of it? How are we going to do this? Because I actually went out seeking a haircut.
Oh, would that have chapped us?
But it's Monday, and apparently you can, become president of the United States rather than get your haircut on a Monday.
Barbershops, yeah, they generally do close on Monday. That is
yeah, because they work Saturday, so they get their 2 days off Sunday and Monday. And nobody parties harder than a barber on Super Bowl Sunday.
That is true.
So
that is true.
Listen, I wasn't trying to be a jerk. I just thought, how cool would it be? You turn on the TV, bang, there I am, short hair, goatee gone.
So today is Valentine's Day.
Oh, all day.
Yeah, and, my family left Sunday morning. So we celebrated our anniversary and Valentine's Day on Saturday. Okay. And I just want to – this card that Jody gave me, right? Okay. And if you press this button, it's so apropos for the pick segment, but listen to it if you could – if the mic picks it up.
Uh-huh. Orleans. That's why she loves you. She gets you.
She gets me.
I know. She really does.
And she said she was not going to give me that card unless I won the pick segment. So,
wow. Yeah. You earned it.
Yeah, I earned it.
1-800- I kept the tradition alive, Michael. I get one single rose for Jalen every Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I like to keep that going.
And how many you get for your wife?
I got a whole big arrangement going.
Nice. There you go. And what'd she get you?
We haven't exchanged yet. Because that had to get delivered, so that got delivered as I was taking the kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure for dinner. Again, I got a lot of great books. Bobby Valentine's got a new book. I didn't even realize it. I got that for my birthday.
Oh,
I finished the Ian O'Connor Coach K book.
It hasn't been sent to me, and I'm red hot.
Really?
Yeah, red hot.
It was so good.
I'm so hot that if we get him on, I'm not going to ask a question.
I think he's coming on Wednesday.
Well, then I'm out. Because how do you not send me
one? It's not his fault.
You got one.
I got it last Saturday.
Maybe Peter, did you get it?
No.
Then we're both out, Michael.
Maybe Mr. Cupcake, Carlos stole it from your mailbox in the cul-de-sac?
That's a really, really bad guy claim.
Yeah, and it didn't happen. He's too good a guy to have that happen.
I'll tell you this. It's a 340-some-odd page book.
Mm-hmm.
Four clear weeping by me.
Really?
He's such a good writer, and there's a lot of things that kind of make you cry.
Well, it's going
to be... And I'm also soft as Charmin now. It's so sad.
Well, it's going to be, Peter, a great day on Wednesday when Michael gets to do an interview by himself.
We're laying out.
I'm laying out.
You can't just ask questions about Coach K?
No.
I'll steer it toward the book? Listen, I'll drive the book over tonight if you want. I finished it.
I was so looking forward to reading this because I'm tired of getting these books like the day we have a guest on. And then I come up with all these questions after I finish the book. So I'm out.
You can't be out.
Well, listen, it better get here. And then I'll at least be a few chapters in by Wednesday.
Maybe.
Otherwise, I'm out.
Maybe. Okay. Nancy got it out of the mailbox and is going to give it to you as a Valentine's gift.
That would be a weird Valentine's gift.
What do you get this guy?
Yeah, she would. Well, I don't know what she got me for my birthday, like the Bobby Valentine book. And she got me a bunch of DVDs from the old roasts, the Dean Martin roasts.
Oh, that must have been cool.
No, that's very cool. No, she knows what buttons to push on me, I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah, she does. Yeah.
Damn right she does.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll come back, take some phone calls, get Peter's review of the halftime show. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Matthew Stafford under center. Here's the snap. Here's the knee. The Bengals will not call a timeout. The sidelines empty. Rings for the Rams. A Lombardi trophy for Los Angeles.
You know, that last drive was a special drive, one I'll never forget.
Yeah, you know, we try to kind of match it up, make it look like maybe there's a QB sneak coming, try to get guys to pinch and just get out on the edge. You know, the belief in Sean that I was going to be able to get the ball and just be able to get 1 yard.
The Michael K. Show.
We're a group, we're a team, and to get it done together was so special.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, the Super Bowl champion, the Los Angeles Rams, 23-20. Over the Cincinnati Bengals. The line was anywhere from 4 to 4.5. So if you bet the Bengals and took the points, you ended up winning. Now, Mattress Mac, the guy from Houston.
Dear God.
Who sells beds, bet $9.5 million on the money line for the Bengals. So he lost $9.5 million.
Wow. He had to go money line, huh?
Because he would have gotten a bigger return, obviously. But
right, but that
I guess if you could lose $9.5 million, I guess you could lose $9.5 million.
I only had one bet I got right on FanDuel yesterday. I did a few, you know, parlays, and the only bet that I got right, which I saw late and thought was a tremendous payout, was Aaron Donald to lead the game in sacks, paid out +360.
Nice. Now, you didn't bet the Drake bet with OBJ scoring the first touchdown?
No, he had an anytime touchdown.
Oh, okay.
I did have that, but it was part of a parlay that also had a Joe Mixon touchdown, which did not happen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Plus, I think my mom's developed a problem.
Sorry?
This is a second straight Super Bowl where she pestered me that she wanted to put money on the game.
And who would she bet?
The Rams. So I went in with her on the Rams.
And now you'll never see the money from her.
No, and
right.
That's how it works with a son.
I guess.
If I had won, I would give her the winnings, and now I'm not going to collect. Come on, she gave birth to me, for God's sakes.
I get it.
But she should still respect a bet, you know?
A bet is a bet. She made you bet.
Oh, she'll respect it. Oh, you should see what goes on.
Go ahead. What do you mean? Tell us more.
Because we went and got food yesterday for my birthday.
Okay.
You know, and she's like, she had to pay. I'm like, no, I got. And then she just would get into a fight.
Oh, it's and then, your birthday. Then, she wants to pay.
Then there's change, and then she doesn't want the change.
Oh, she wants to tip you.
That's just come on.
Now
she's that way. She's a very generous person.
This is the worst part about not being in the studio, because this, you know, the birthday is when Andrew gets The cake, the ice cream cake from down
this
the block.
Is tough. This
Western
is tough.
Beef.
Well, hey there.
We'd have to find another place, by the way.
Why? Well, it's not that long of a walk.
Have you made it?
Yeah.
I have. It's a nice hole.
Yeah, you know, no one's making that trip to Western Beef.
There's got to be some place closer that we can get an ice cream cake than.
I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about Columbus Avenue. It's not exactly, you know, you're going to see a.
There's plenty there.
A shop right there.
There's stuff closer. Trust me. Believe me.
I want to tell you all, everybody listening, and Don, what a mensch Peter Rosenberg is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bang bang.
Do tell.
On Saturday early afternoon, I get a text from Peter. Hey, Michael, I really would like you to come over and watch the game. And he laid out what he was going to order, that I would like, you know, I'm going to have pizza, I'm going to have wings, it'll be great. Come over. And I was considering it, and then it was snowing on Sunday morning. I said, I don't know if I want to do this. So I texted him, like, at noon. I said, I think I'm just going to hang at home. And he wrote me back a profane response, but still, it was so nice.
It was profane.
That it was so nice that you did that, Peter. It really moved me.
Well, Don, the response was profane because I knew that he was bluffing the entire time, not even considering it.
I'm Hack Rosenberg.
No, because I do think I can only go by my area. The snow is a lot more significant than I was prepared for. I had to shovel again.
Yeah, I had to drive, like my family, at the time, a driving snowstorm to the airport. It wasn't fun.
I know, but then what did you end up doing for food yesterday?
I went out and I got myself some wings. I ate so much, like I would never eat like that. But I made it a cheat day for the year. I had Dipsy Doodles, honey wheat pretzels. I had roast beef. I had chicken parmesan hero. I had wings. It was beautiful. By the way, can we call? He's a friend. I understand he's a friend. But Greeny's wife, Stacy, Mike Greenberg's wife, Stacy, sends out a picture before the Super Bowl.
I heard about this.
And he's eating wings with a knife and fork. I mean, what are you doing?
What do you mean, by the way? Can you explain more?
He's got the wings on a plate.
Okay.
And he's got the fork in the wing, and then he's carving off some of the meat.
Wait. Is it like a giant piece? Maybe it's
like
a piece of chicken.
No, it's a wing. It's the size of a wing. I bet you, Don, he eats pizza with a knife and fork too. I guarantee it.
These are bone in. These are not like
right.
Sometimes I could see that if it's boneless.
I ate boneless wings yesterday. I shoved it in my face.
Wait. What is happening here?
He's
not even aware that a picture is being taken. She's not posting it in like a way where she's saying, "Look at this," right?
No, so she's posting it like proudly.
Right, that's how you know it's real.
And then he tweeted out later, he goes, well, how else would you eat it? He's in his 50s, right? How else would you eat wings? You put them up to your mouth, and you gnaw at them, and then you wipe the sauce off your face.
Right. There's only one way to eat wings. And the way he's doing it is not the way.
No, it's an embarrassing way, and he should be embarrassed. And we love him, but
Not only is it embarrassing because it's weak and it makes you look like if you were in a group of other men, they see you do that and they go, now we know who the weak one is. He's the one we take out. Okay? Like, Don, if you're on an island and a guy starts pulling out the knife and fork for the wings,
we go, well,
he's who we're eating when we run out of wings.
Right. That's
okay.
You know, in the movie Alive, he's eaten in like day seven.
So besides,
he's Piggy is what you're saying. Lord of the Flies. Yeah.
He's Piggy and Lord of the Flies. So besides that, though, let's just talk about how inefficient a way it is.
You're not getting all the meat.
You can't
carve the meat off of
that. Wait a minute. He looks like he's doing a pretty decent job. There are bones, and it looks like he does get to all of the meat.
But that has to take time. You know how much faster it is to just suck the meat off the bone?
It's really the only way to enjoy it.
I'm shocked by this. And also, like, he's in his house. Like, you
right,
have napkins.
Only Stacy would see if he had it all over his face.
Yeah, and you eat while, and it gets all over your hands. And guess what? You're in your own home. So then you just go run your hands under the faucet, wipe off with a paper towel, and that's it. Move on to the next thing.
Now, I've been in restaurants where I've ordered wings, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a little embarrassing, but that's the way you eat wings. But
it's just
if you're at home, who cares?
Just got to make sure you got a lot of napkins.
Right.
It's a mess.
It's a mess, but it's a beautiful mess. Come on, Mike. Come back to us.
This is a guy who, in Mike Greenberg, an absolute success story in America, but now he's made too much money. That's how you know. He should turn back over some cash.
And
he's
also,
too rich.
I could see, like, if he had on, like, a Gucci shirt or something. He has an Under Armour t-shirt on. So what if you got grease on it?
Right, it's a wing shirt.
It's a black Under Armour t-shirt.
And he's home. Like, he had done the NBA stuff earlier in the day, right?
Yeah.
Because I heard him in the afternoon. So now he comes home, and he's throw some shorts on or something. Relax, will you?
Well, he's still got a t-shirt on. He's relaxing.
Yeah, he's just –
Yeah,
just
but
don't...
even in relaxation, he looks great.
He does.
Well, he's
he looks
a metrosexual, terrific. But that doesn't mean you can't eat wings the
Apparently
right way.
Apparently it does.
We've got to get him on to talk about this.
He's who we're eating when we run out of wings.
Right. I think he really came down in our eyes with that picture.
Yeah,
and the thing that Peter brings up that's so brilliant is they didn't see anything wrong with it. That's why it was posted. So this is the way it happens at the Greenberg house.
I don't even understand. Well, her original thing is how it started, how it's going. Hashtag Super Bowl 56. And how it started is him standing in front of the wings. Like,
right.
So maybe he cooked the wings?
No, it looks like they ordered the wings.
It looks ordered, though, in the kind of trough that it's in.
Right.
So I don't really understand how it started, how it's going. But so maybe she is making fun of it. Maybe that is what she's showing. Maybe the how it's going is pointing out how ridiculous it is.
So Don Show fan just tweeted that ESPN Greeny spoke about it on his show this morning. He confirmed he also eats pizza with a knife and fork, as with everything else. Doesn't like his hands smelling.
Well, you can wash them.
But why would you eat pizza with a knife? I mean, I could see eating Chicago deep dish pizza with a knife.
Sure.
But not New York pizza. Yes, you either eat it flat or you fold it up and eat it. Again, the thing I said when I wept about the fact that I can't eat as much pizza as I want, it's got a built-in handle.
How does he eat a hamburger?
You know, that's an excellent point. He says he eats everything with a knife and fork.
Hmm. Everything?
Even like a Snickers bar, like in Seinfeld?
No, that's an excellent question.
We should get him on. Maybe not today, but tomorrow.
A lot of questions here.
A lot of questions.
So, Peter, the halftime show. First of all, I would like to bring this up. The New York Post ran a story on its website today that Snoop Dogg smoked pot before the performance, as if that was like an unbelievable thing.
Was that a blunt?
Marijuana is legal in California, number one. Number two, you didn't hire Pat Boone. You hired Snoop Dogg, who talks about the virtues of marijuana. The fact that he smoked it before the show, of course he did. Of course he did.
Drugs must be great.
Story.
I don't understand it's the story either.
I'm with you. I saw that. I did not understand the point of the headline. Snoop Dogg smokes a joint before going on stage. It's legal, and he's a proud pot smoker. What is interesting about this?
So what'd you think?
I enjoyed the halftime performance. I thought it was solid. I can't say I was, like, absolutely blown away. You know, I think the way the audio was mixed, like, you kind of got a little bit too much crowd noise mixed in there. I don't love how that sounds. Song selections I thought were pretty good. I thought I was surprised that Mary J. Blige did the song No More Drama. It was it's a big record, but it wasn't worthy of being there. I thought it was disappointing that Eminem didn't do his verse for Forgot About Dre, which is one of his most beloved verses. They teased it, but then he just did 8 Mile. I thought Kendrick was the overall best performance, sounded the best, most energetic. I thought Dr. Dre looked good. 50 Cent certainly got his share of jokes for looking a little different than he did in the video that they were recreating on stage. But, I mean, that was 2003. He's gotten a little bigger, right? Yeah,
a lot of years ago, for God's sake.
Well, it's inflation. 50 Cent.
A lot of inflation jokes. A lot of, 50 Cent, more like 75 Cent. A lot of that going on. But, yeah, overall, I thought it was really good. I guess I'm not putting it up there with Prince in the rain. I'm not putting it up there with the Michael Jackson 1993.
Yeah, could you believe that after the show? I mean, even before Maria Tell, the greatest halftime show of all time, And then if people were saying that, no, it wasn't. Prince was great. Michael Jackson was great.
I was like, you guys know that Prince performed in the pouring rain. He did Purple Rain in the rain. Right. I mean, come on. Like,
I mean,
that was
Springsteen's
cool.
Performed. The Rolling Stones have performed. I mean, come on. The greatest show of all time. If you like hip hop, it was the greatest of all time.
Right, right, right. I read a funny tweet, too, which was someone was saying, you know, they were watching the halftime show and thinking, man, all those years, I always never understood why they have old people do the halftime show. Well, look, now they're, oh, yes, it's still old people. I'm just
bring
old
back
now.
The old days. Right.
Yeah, Dre's in his 50s, right?
Yeah, Snoop's right around 50. Eminem's right around 50.
Who's talking now?
Mary is close. And Kendrick's the only young person there.
I heard a stat, Don, that when The Who performed, every member of The Who was 77 years old when they did that halftime show.
No.
That's what I heard. I was in the car. ESPN Radio had it.
That was 20 years ago. I don't think
that couldn't be right, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, Roger Daltrey, I think, just turned like 77. Hold on. There's no way. Because without The Who, that had to be 20 years ago.
Another thing that got me, Peter.
Yeah.
So you ask these people to perform at halftime.
Sure.
And then the NFL doesn't want them to do certain songs that are objectionable.
Okay.
Which Dre did anyway, the line in the song, I don't care that much for police, something like that.
Still apparently. Not loving police.
Still not loving police. Yeah. And then they told Eminem, do not under any circumstance kneel. Well, he did, because he's not going to listen to authority. And Dre did what he wanted. And Dre was really upset because the NFL was really riding them hard to keep it clean or whatever the case might. If you're so worried about them, why'd you put that together then? You know what I mean? Let them be themselves.
There's something so rock and roll about not doing what you're told.
That is part of it,
you
too.
You know, really, honestly, like, I know, oh, you're not supposed to do that. There's kids watching, all that stuff. But there's something so rock and roll. I remember when Metallica performed one at the Grammys, which was like a big deal at the time. It was 1988, 89. Like, metal was actually getting recognition, but the song was too long. So they asked them to cut the song. Metallica was red hot about it, but they cut the song, and James said he changed one of the lines, you know, pull this blank out from me. Like, that was his little way of like, all right, you can make a shortened song? Well, guess what? We're going to swear. And that's kind of rock and roll to me. And I know kids hear it, and it's a shame, but you know what? If you're going to dance with the devil, this is what's going to happen, right? This is what rock and rollers do. This is what people in that situation do. They always push the envelope. They
push.
Ruffle feathers, and I don't necessarily have a problem with it. Did you? Michael, you're the one that doesn't like swearing. Is it like?
There was no swearing.
Well, yeah, but
no, there was one. There was one bleep.
There was?
Oh. Yeah, one bleep. I think it was Kendrick Lamar. But
okay.
All I'm saying is, if the NFL is so anal about this stuff, then why would you contract them to perform? You know what their songs are. So why would you do it? So you either let them be themselves or don't bring them aboard.
Because they're trying, but they want to get both.
But you know, it's hard to get everything in life.
It's true. You can't always get what you want, as I believe another famous Super Bowl performer once said. But yeah, but they're trying to get the credit, and they're trying to appeal to a diverse audience with all the negative energy that's surrounding the NFL with regard to black coaches or you know, all the social issues of the last few years. So they want to please their black audience and win points there, but they also have to worry about the people getting angry and protesting. I like where they drew the line. I think it's very arbitrary. Kendrick has a line that they edited. Kendrick has a line where he says, and we hate Popo. They muted. He didn't say that. He said, and we hate, and didn't say Popo. But Dre says...
Oh, that's
says,
what I thought that they bleeped. Okay, so okay. He didn't say it.
He
okay.
didn't say it. He went, and we hate, and he didn't say it, I don't think. Meanwhile, Dre, though, Dre says, still not loving police. So the line they had was, you're allowed to still not love. You just can't hate. They drew a line, and they stuck with it.
But they didn't want Dre to say that either, and he still said it. And now Eminem's rep said the NFL knew exactly that he was going to kneel. So the NFL's trying to have it both ways, saying that they didn't want him to kneel, but they knew that he was going to.
And really, I think the one that actually benefits from all this is Pepsi. I mean, the NFL could have up with people. It's not going to change their number. People are going to watch the Super Bowl. What Pepsi wants, they're artists that are relevant so they can sell their product. So I don't even know really how the NFL, other than getting paid, really has any say. How does the NFL benefit from who's performing at halftime? The number's the number.
Because it's about branding of the league, as Peter said. They want to be hip and everything, so that's how they benefit.
Yeah, but I think what really benefits is getting that money from Pepsi. And having Dolly Parton perform, you're not going to get that money from Pepsi.
You might. Now, Tycoon Raccoon tweeted out, the Who performed Super Bowl in 2010, Daltrey was 65, Townsend was 64.
Right. Yeah, because
so Roger, now Daltrey's 77.
Right? Yeah, he's 7. And I remember you thought that they were maybe a little too old to perform.
Well, we were on by then, huh? Pro Football Talk tweeted this out earlier. There's a belief that the NFL will eventually conclude that Stephen Ross did indeed offer Brian Flores $100,000 per loss in 2019. If that happens, Ross could be forced to sell the Dolphins.
All right.
Holy crap.
That seems like an easy fix.
But he could take, I mean, this guy, I mean, could buy and sell Donald Sterling, so I don't know if he's going to go quietly.
Yeah, but if he loses all the owners and the owners want him out.
Now, Daniel Laub said that on Greeny's show, which you could hear from 10 to noon on 98.7. He actually brought up how he eats a candy bar during his show. He pulls the wrapper down after each bite so it doesn't touch his hand, which he's apparently anal about.
Right,
so then he, how does he, I want to know, how does he eat a hamburger?
Mike?
Yeah, Michael or Mike?
I would have said Michael. Mike Greenberg, you're an exceptionally talented person. One of the most talented people I've ever met. Tremendously good looking. There isn't anything you can't do. There are people that you can pay or have your insurance cover that you could talk to about these things. So don't fight it, man. Talk. Because every place I've ever been's got a sink. You can wash your hands. My God.
It's a little much.
You don't want chocolate touching your fingers? Well, I got to tell you.
Boy,
of the places I put my hand.
He would really not like my daughter. I don't. Callie misses her mouth with every bit of food that she eats. It's all over her face. She's 9 years old.
At the end of dinner, breakfast, any meal, I bring out the broom and I have to the floor. You would think like minions came in and were just like tore apart like a giant cookie.
Like Callie's go-to breakfast is waffles with Nutella on it.
Oh, great.
And at the end of the breakfast, she looks like the Joker, you know, like the chocolate up toward her cheekbones. I mean, if she eats ice cream, Greeny would be disgusted by her.
It's one thing that dogs really have on kids.
What's that?
Well, Bear doesn't leave a mess. In fact, it's the opposite. If you have a mess, he eats it up. Like, there's never, like, a mess around where Bear is. What Bear does, he follows around. Like, does Butter not do this? Bear would love to be around Callie because he would just wait next to her and eat everything.
Oh, Butter is constantly at the dinner table, so the point that it's annoying. But with Callie, we say the only you can't make somebody what they're not, and she's kind of slobby. I said, you cannot drop chocolate on the floor. Dogs can't have chocolate.
Right.
So she's good about that.
Okay, there you go.
But it's not pretty.
Ballard has chimed in. Thinks the whole picture with Greeny's a troll job.
Oh, really?
Because he doesn't believe that you could possibly get all the meat off the bone with a knife and fork the way he did. So he thinks it's a scam.
It's an interesting take. A controversial one.
It's hard to get all the meat off the bone.
With a fork?
Yeah.
I just get help.
The wings we made yesterday were so slamming. Oh, really.
God, nothing like a
you
good
made
wing,
them?
Right?
Yeah, Natalie made them. They were so fantastic. I have this, Don, I have this Stubbs sweet sticky barbecue sauce.
Right.
Oh, and Natalie made a tzatziki sauce. So we had like we had blue cheese, tzatziki, and then the barbecue wings. It was a treat.
Andrew's yelling at me. We have the break. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg, Greeny with a knife and fork, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Strong indications that Aaron Donald might call it a career, which I don't quite get. He's at the top of his game. He's 30 years old. He has a contract year left where he's going to make a lot of money. Now, part of the contract year, I think, is he'll end up getting $22 million, but part of that was a $5 million bonus that he's already gotten for, you know, salary cap evasion purposes. So if he retires, would the Rams ask him for the $5 million back? Because that really is toward next year's salary. And really, why would you retire at 30 if you're in good health and walk away when a team has a chance to repeat?
All I know is, and I'm going to ask Steve Young about this, 30 must be the magic number. That's when Barry retired. That's when Megatron retired. 30 just seems to be that NFL number. It seems so young. But you play over a decade. You give so much of yourself. And now he's looked upon as the best player in the NFL, definitely on the defensive side of the ball. Now he's got the ring. And maybe he just wants to be able to walk away and not have anything to deal with. I mean, every year you play, you take a chance and breaking your back, tearing something, and affecting you psychologically. So 30 must just be a magic number for an NFL player. Not a quarterback, but I think for everybody else.
Well, Von Miller kind of intimated it's crazy. He said, why would you leave this? He said, there's nothing like this feeling. He said, I felt it twice, and you just want it again and again and again. I think this will rub Brady back all the time.
I mean, but if you feel that you're underpaid.
No, I don't know. You think it's a money grab?
That's what I read today.
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah. There was a Yahoo article. You know, he is the fifth highest paid defender in football, and he is the best defender in football, and he's still in his prime. And I would argue he was the MVP yesterday and the MVP of their team in general. So
now, do you agree what Peter King wrote, Don, that when the history of the NFL is written, the best defensive player of all time will be Lawrence Taylor 1A? And Aaron Donald would be 1B.
As good as Aaron Donald's been, I never had him in the same area as Lawrence Taylor. But he's really, really good. Now, again, it's different positions. But, God, he's been dominant for a long time now. But was he any more dominant than, you know, Ray Lewis was? Bruce Smith was?
Yeah, I think when you see like that, it's the bias of recency. It really is.
I mean, listen, Peter King watches every game, and he knows the sport, and he also knows the history of the sport. He votes for the Hall of Fame. But, God, you think of some of the people he'd have to be better than. Like I just mentioned, just off the top of my head, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Ray Lewis.
Eli Apple.
You know, you go back to Richard Dent, and it's just like there's a lot of – but he's definitely in that conversation.
He's amazing. He is amazing. But, again, I think we see things that are happening now and we think, well, this guy's the greatest ever. And, well, he's in the conversation, but, you know, LT and then him, I mean, other people might differ. They might beg to differ.
Now, the one thing, and, again, I didn't hear what Peter King had to say, like why he felt this way. But I look at how much an offensive league it's become. You wonder if the names that I mentioned, if they played in this era, where you can't touch the quarterback and every play and every rule seems to benefit the offense, whether those guys could have been dominant as they were.
That's another good point.
You know, so maybe because of the era that we're playing in that he can be so good, maybe puts him in that conversation.
Now, Peter brought up something on Friday, which, you know, in the second quarter of the game went away. Odell Beckham Jr. was on his way to maybe being the MVP of the game. Then he tore his knee up. Looks like he tore his ACL, the same knee. Mm-hmm. Same knee, 16 months later. Second ACL tear in 16 months. He's a free agent. Peter, he just cost himself so much money. Who's signing him?
It's. Yesterday was an absolute emotional roller coaster for Odell Beckham Jr. He starts out better than anyone could have even hoped for. Guys, he was going to cruise past. By the way, the over-under on yardage for Odell was 62.5. When he got hurt, he had 52. So he was going to cruise. Already had his touchdown, and it just looked like they didn't have a solution for him because of the bodies they had to keep on Cooper Kupp. He ends up getting hurt, leaving the game, and you just think about what a bummer it would be that he got there, contributed, and then had to watch his team lose from the sideline. They get the win, though. So there's this beautiful silver lining that he's a Super Bowl champion. But now, Michael, to your point, he has to try to rehab all the way back the second time. There's no chance he's getting the contract he was going to get.
And, those kind of injuries, Peter, is he going to be ready for the start of the season? I doubt it. And a lot of people blamed it on the turf. I don't think the turf is going anywhere. But it was just a misstep. It was a misstep. On a personal note, I went out with my son on Saturday. There's an artificial turf school at the artificial turf field at the school, high school here. Was just throwing around the football for an hour and a half. I felt like I was beaten up. I mean, it takes a lot out of you. And for him to tear it twice, it's just awful. Just awful.
It's carpeted cement.
Yeah. But it's a lot better than it was back when it was green cement.
Oh, my God. Well, they just spray-painted cement. Veterans Stadium back in the day, it was ridiculous. But I think he'll be able to come back. He was already talking about maybe trying to return to the Rams. So maybe he'll take he'll get an opportunity to return to the Rams, try to build up another big season, sign a one-year deal. I mean, he's still very good, but how many knee injuries are you going to suffer? It really stinks. And I didn't know how I was going to feel about it, guys, because I told you I was kind of neutral. But I genuinely felt bad for him when he left the game, and I genuinely felt good that he won.
And you didn't know you'd feel that way.
No, I didn't. I told you on Friday I was kind of just neutral. I never hated him. I never loved him. I get that the Giants, parted ways with him. So I was never a huge fan, but I never thought he was a bad guy either. I didn't blame him for all the things that took place, the boat trip and all that. I mean, he was a part of it, but there was a lot of other things going on with the Giants, as we've seen since he left. But not knowing how I was going to feel about it, I felt good for him.
I felt sorry that it got hurt. I don't think I felt good. Because you know how I feel about this stuff. I don't want people to be rewarded when they get out of places in the bad way. Like James Harden, if the Sixers won this year, or even if the Nets win, Simmons. Because then it just justifies everything they did. And, we said he didn't do anything bad to get out of the Giants. Remember one thing, though, Don. We didn't discuss this. When he got out of the Giants, he whipped Eli Manning. Completely destroyed him. And then, obviously, the dad destroyed Baker Mayfield. So he's never really had a real nice party.
Yeah. But I do think there's been some maturity. Now, we'll see. I guess we're not going to see, because I don't think he's going to get a big-time contract after the injury. So maybe he was just playing the game so he can get the contract and become a diva again once he got it. But it is possible that he's matured and that he learned the error of his ways. And did anybody really understand that tweet with him and his former teammates looking at him, like Eli and looking at Stafford, like the Megatron was in it? Did anybody see that tweet?
No, I didn't see it.
Mm-mm. I don't know if he tweeted it or Rams. I don't know who tweeted it, but it was Odell. His arm was around Matthew Stafford, and it had somebody from the Browns. It might have been Landry. It wasn't Mayfield. Eli and Megatron, like looking, something like with the teammates. And some people thought that they were being disrespectful to those guys for not having one with Odell. But I kind of looked at it as he was kind of – they both – like somebody was like just honoring all the former teammates that played with them. I don't know. Check it out on Twitter, because it did seem to get a reaction.
It was under Odell's handle?
Yeah, I got to look and see. I thought it was. Maybe somebody can retweet it to you guys and you can see it. I saw it this morning.
I'll take a brief time out. We'll take some phone calls. We have Steve Young at 5 o'clock, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Spending it alone. How sad is that? Alone.
You'll make it work. Watch your Knicks Thunder. Flip on the Nets and Kings.
That's nice.
That's a nice existence on Valentine's Day.
Maybe do a little pizza on the chest, Michael. Why not?
Ooh.
Ooh, boy. I haven't done that in a
Domino's
long time.
Domino's on my chest.
No, that's a great idea, Don. You really know me. Yeah, you get me.
Well, take advantage of it. I mean, we all love our family, but when you can get that one moment where you can kind of just exhale a little bit, be you, do you, get a couple of games that you're interested in.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm like living life how, you know, how it would be if I never met Joe. I don't like it. I don't like being alone all the time. I have nobody to talk to.
Really?
But butter.
I'd like to suggest this is not what your life was like before you met Jody.
No. I mean.
Yeah, but I had to slow down at some point, Peter. I wouldn't be keeping that same schedule at 61.
No, not the same schedule. But you'd be keeping a schedule.
Nerlens Noel out tonight against the Thunder. R.J. Barrett out again. So keeping him in that game where you lose him by 15 didn't really work out. R.J. Barrett has never missed a game other than for COVID. Now he's missed three in a row and probably more. Probably be out until the All-Star break. Not a good look for Coach Thibs. Let's go to Tom and Brick. Tom and Brick, what's up? Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Tom?
Hello.
Where were you, Tom?
I'm here. Because I'm telling you, I want to give. This has been the best show of the year.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
You.
And you love Steve Young?
Yeah. Well, I agree with him, but not totally. If you want, I could tell you. You can let me on if you want.
Go ahead.
There were three guys that changed the way sports are played in America. One was Babe Ruth when he came along, the home run made baseball.
That's right.
The next guy was Jackie Robinson. He said, right. Wait a second, there's a colored race that can play this game too. And then the third one was Lawrence Taylor. He changed the way they played football, especially defensive football. Now, what's his name? Steve Young. He said Reggie White. Reggie White was a down lineman. Lawrence Taylor weighed 235 pounds. He was 6'2", and he was held on two legs. Well, and he changed the way the defenses played.
Well, when he came into the league in 1981, Tom, and thank you for the phone call, is that running backs blocked linebackers. Well, you couldn't have a running back block Lawrence Taylor. So they'd slide a tight end. No, it didn't work. So then they would then try a tackle, and then it would be a tackle and a tight end, and that was not happening with linebackers. Linebackers dropped in the coverage, occasionally blitzed. He'd line up everywhere on the field. Peter, there were stories where Ron Jaworski would call timeout because he couldn't find where Lawrence Taylor was, and he wasn't even on the field. But he would call timeout because if he didn't know where Lawrence Taylor was, he couldn't snap the ball. So he changed the game that way because linebackers didn't do that. And I'm not sure really any linebackers have done that really since, at least to that extent.
Hello?
Yes. Is everything all right, Michael?
Yeah, butter knocked me off the air.
Oh no. This isn't...
Well, he got a little upset because you're talking to butter. You made it sound like that's not a good thing to just have butter with you this week. And he knocked you off the air.
She did. But anyway, because she keeps walking behind the desk and she stepped on the power strip and just knocked me off the air. Brutal. And then she chewed up my favorite hat, too. Look at this.
No.
The hat that I drew the numbers out of. It's like a $40 hat that I bought at Baseballism. Does your dog do this, Peter?
No.
She chews everything up.
Listen, I told you the crowd gets mad when you say it, but I don't think the retriever is the smartest of animals. They shut up, Rosenberg. It's the smartest dog who's ever lived. I find that the retrievers like to do things, but Butter's a young retriever as well.
Well, she's over one, which means she's seven. But like the other day, I let her out of the house, right? And now she's playing this game. She will not come in. An hour and a half in the freezing cold. I opened the door, she'd look at me. And I try to grab her, she'd run away. She thought she was having fun. Very frustrating.
This is sounding like a challenge.
Oh, yeah. I told Jody, anything you could do with the pup while you're gone? Didn't seem to be an option.
So why don't you go drop the dog off at the pound. That seems like something you
do. At the pound?
Don, didn't he suggest that about someone recently?
Oh, yeah.
When did I say at the pound?
What was it? What was the situation? You recently suggested something like that.
For Bear.
Fine. Not the pound. How about you just go drop the dog off on a farm and tell the kids you lost her?
Yeah.
I like the dog, but she gets a little bit, you know, chewing up things I like, knocking me off the air. It's not a good thing.
She's dogging.
How's ENN coming? This is a big ENN, the ENN after the Super Bowl.
Post-Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the first ENN after the Super Bowl. I think you're going to like it.
Do you know that, Don, I texted this to Peter. I didn't text it to you. Jack Collinsworth, I don't think is Chris Collinsworth's son. I believe it's a clone.
I didn't see. I saw the text, but I didn't see it.
Oh my God. First of all, he talks just like him. He has the same mannerisms, has the same inflection, looks just like him. It's his clone.
How old is he?
How old is he, Peter? 25?
26 or something.
Wow.
I have a take on this, but it won't surprise.
Is that for ENN?
Sure. It won't surprise anyone.
All right. We'll come back, get the take, and a really zoftig ENN. We're looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.